Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Enthusiasm and excitement about your word and all that you've done for us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we ever be mindful of our great freedom and liberty through the Lord Jesus Christ, the victory that we have in Christ. We are forever grateful for it, Lord God, and we don't take it lightly. We thank you today for the mighty Holy Spirit in this place, bringing the revelation, knowledge, and understanding to every listening ear and heart and here today. We thank you for all that you will say, all that you would do. And I ask for utterance in the Holy Ghost today. Think through my thoughts. Speak through my lips your words. And I believe that I receive them and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is Healing School. So one of the things we want to do when it comes to Healing School is declare the word of the Lord over our lives when it comes to healing, right? Because his word should be the final answer, the last say-so in our lives is what God has said. Not what somebody else has said, but what God has said. And then you learning to put God's word in your mouth and what you say is the same as this. God himself has said it. Hallelujah. So in Healing School, we like to not only increase our faith and develop our faith, but we like to release our faith. And one of the ways that you release your faith is through your words and your actions. So today when I share the healing word and we make our confession together, don't just make a confession because somebody's asking you to, but believe the words that you are speaking. Just like God the Father, when he spoke the world into existence, he believed in the words that he spoke, but he never did anything without saying it first. So that was a part of releasing his faith, exercising his faith. So let's do this together. I'm going to read the scriptures, then we'll make a confession together and believe the word of God. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, it says, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This is our confession we'll make together. Surely Jesus had borne my sicknesses and diseases and carried my pains. He bore them and carried them away to a distance. I don't have to bear what he bore for me. I refuse to bear what he bore for me. Satan cannot put on me what Jesus already bore for me. By his stripes, I am healed and made whole. Amen. You believe that? Here we go. Second scripture, Matthew 8, 16 and 17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Hallelujah. Here's our confession together today. Jesus himself took my infirmities.
Jesus himself took my infirmities.
And bore my sicknesses.
And bore my sicknesses.
He carried away my sicknesses.
He carried away my sicknesses. And diseases.
He bore them away,
and
removed them.
Disease is not mine.
Sickness is not mine.
Healing is mine.
I refuse to bear what Jesus already bore for me. Satan, you cannot put disease on me. I refuse to accept sickness.
I will not tolerate sickness.
Sickness and disease are totally unacceptable to me. All right, here's our next scripture. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Here's our confession. By Jesus' stripes I was healed.
By Jesus' stripes I was healed.
Healing belongs to me.
Healing belongs to me.
I was healed 2,000 years ago.
I was healed 2,000 years ago.
By the stripes Jesus bore. I'm not trying to get healed.
I've got healing.
Because by his stripes,
I was healed.
Amen. And then our last scripture this morning, 1 John 3:8. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Confession. Sickness is a work of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil.
Sickness
has been dissolved,
broken up,
annulled,
undone,
and liquidated, as far as I'm concerned. Because Jesus put sickness to an end for me. Amen. You believe that this morning? Thank him for it. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for your word this morning. It's life. It's healing. It's medicine to all our flesh. Praise God. Amen. We want to welcome all those online with us this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. The week before last, I had started a short series here called A Divine Strategy. And I'm going to continue on it today. A divine strategy. No matter what battles you may be facing, a divine strategy is to send praise out ahead of you.
Yes.
How many remembers that? A divine strategy is to send praise out ahead of you. Yes. We looked up in Judges chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It said, after Joshua's death, the Israelites asked God. They said, God, who shall go up first for us against the enemy to fight against them? And the Lord said, send Judah. Judah means praise. And they won against their enemies by listening to what the Lord said to them. You know, when you praise, it helps you get your mind off the problem and on the answer.
Right.
Hallelujah. When you praise God, you win battles.
Yeah.
Praise is a fundamental element to your faith. Your faith needs your praise.
Yeah.
Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. But faith is released through our words and our actions.
Yeah.
And so when you're speaking and declaring the word of God out of your mouth, it should be coming forth out of your heart,
yeah,
what you're saying with your mouth, because you believe what you're saying. So praise is a vital weapon in the life of the believer. In Revelation 5, verse 5, it says that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The tribe of praise. Hallelujah. So when you praise, you get raised. Glory to God. And so we began to look at some scriptures, and I just want to go over them real quickly here this morning before we move forward. And we're going to look at Psalms chapter 8. Let's go to Psalms chapter 8 and in verse 2. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified. I'm going to read it from the King James Version. Psalms chapter 8 and in verse 2. I'm reminded of something that Noble Hayes said. He said, in one of the visions when Jesus appeared to him, he said, my people, Jesus told Noble Hayes, he said, my people do not praise me enough. He said, Lord, what do you mean? He says, my people do not praise me enough. If my people would praise and worship me more, he said, I would do great and mighty things for them and through them. Then I'm also reminded of something Brother Hagin said. He said, I believe there is a close relationship between ministering unto the Lord, which is praise and worshiping Him, and deliverance from your tests and trials. That's something Brother Hagin said. And Brother Hagin said, when you praise God, the anointing comes. And that anointing is the power of God, or the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Yeah. I said, when we praise God, the anointing comes. The problem is we don't stay there long enough for the anointing to come. But if we stay there till we sense the presence of God begins to fill the place, begins to fill the room, fill your room, wherever you are, you begin to sense His presence. Through your five senses, He begins to reveal Himself through your five senses, and you can sense the presence and the power of God there. Woo, boy, when you stay there long enough and that begins to happen, then that is when that anointing, woo, begins to build a barricade around you and becomes a shield to keep the devil out. Come on now. And the strength of God, the power of God is being released and moving and working on your behalf. Unbeknown to you, the mighty things that could be happening. If you knew what was happening in the realm of the spirit every time you praise and worship God, you'd be doing more of it. So in Psalms chapter 8 and in verse 2, it says, out of the mouth of babes, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy, the avenger. That word strength there. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. I tell you, when you begin to praise God, it says God's strength comes into your situation. And when God's strength comes into your situation, then it says it begins to steal. That word steal there means to silence, shut the mouth of the enemy who might be antagonizing you, who might be intimidating you, who might be tormenting you. But if you'll just learn to praise and worship God more, we need to become more skillful at this and practice this much more than what we do. Yes. Hallelujah. So it says right there, when we begin to praise and worship God, God's strength comes into our situation and the enemy is silenced. And that could be any voices of the enemy from doubt, unbelief, fear, all that begins to be silenced when the strength of God comes into our situation and that anointing falls. Hallelujah. It says right here that the enemy is silenced. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's look at another one we looked at last week. Psalms 22 and verse 3. Psalms 22 verse 3. I'm going to read that out of the King James Version also. Psalms 22, verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest, he inhabitest the praises of Israel. God inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. That means God inhabits, he dwells in, takes up residence in. Come on now, in the praises of his people. God inhabits those praises. He does. And it says right here, that God is enthroned amid the praises of his people. God is enthroned amid and upon the praises of his people. He is enthroned as the Holy One. Hallelujah. It says, in one translation, it says he sits down as a judge in ambush with surprise attacks. I love that. Sits as a judge. Thank you all. And sits as a judge in ambush. Appreciate it. As when surprise attacks.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's when we praise and worship God. We're talking about praising God. He inhabits, takes up residence in our praise and worship. And that's when that anointing comes. The burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. And not only that, God inhabits your praises, but also God inhabits you. If you're born again in here today, you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior and Lord. He inhabits you. He lives in you. He's come and taken up residence in you. So you think about that. Your praise and your worship when it goes up before God, and then he's dwelling in you. That's two against one. The enemy cannot stand. He cannot stand around. He cannot stay around praise and worship because he inhabits, he dwells in you, and he inhabits those praises. That's two against one. Hallelujah. Remember, your voice is the address. Your voice is your address in the realm of the spirit and your ticket out of Satan's dominion. Your voice brings victory to your address. There is no other voice like yours in the world. It is specific, different from everybody else's. That's the way God made you. And when you speak and you declare the word of God, when you sing and praise God, it brings victory to your address. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then we also looked at another scripture right here. We looked at Psalms chapter 5. Psalms chapter 5. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read that. Verses 11 and 12 out of the Amplified. Psalms chapter 5, verse 11 and 12 out of the Amplified Version. We're talking about a divine strategy, that is to send praise out ahead of you. Praise helps you in the time when you might be facing adversity, opposition, a challenge, a battle. But it helps you get your mind off the battle and on to your answer. The Lord God himself, he is the word. But it says right here in verse 11 and 12 of Psalms chapter 5, but let all those who take refuge and put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever sing and shout for joy. Hallelujah. Because you make a covering over them. Here we go. Here's the barricade right here. Let me go back again. But let all those who take refuge and put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever sing. Shout for joy because you make a covering over them and defend them. Oh boy, there we go. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you and be in high spirits. For you, Lord, verse 12, for you, Lord, will bless the uncompromisingly righteous, him who is upright and in right standing with you as with a shield. You surround him with goodwill, pleasure, and favor. Hallelujah. When you rejoice and praise God and get joyful and sing and shout, I'm telling you, it says that he makes a covering over you and defends you. There's your barricade right there to keep that old devil out. Bless God. Why do we want to praise and worship God? We're not just trying to praise and worship God to get something. No, we're praising and worshiping him. Number one, for what he's already done for you. Praise helps you to release your faith before you can ever feel something or see something. You believe something. You believe first with your heart, and then you say with your mouth. So praise helps you to think and keep your mind on the answer that you got it, no matter whether you feel it or see it, but because God's word has said it. Your praise is so powerful, and it is a mighty weapon. And also, it creates the right atmosphere for a move of God in your life, for God's movement. We want a move of God, God's movement. And I'm telling you, where God sets up as a judge in ambush. Come on now, with surprise attacks against your enemy. What, Pastor Debbie, is that real? Yes, it is real. We're going to look at an example here in just a moment. If we don't learn to praise and worship God more, the devil might think he's winning. The devil might think he's winning, and we sure don't want him to think he's winning. But if we don't learn to praise and worship God more, you know, you'll be stressed more, you'll you'll even fear more, you'll fret more, you'll be anxious more. You'll worry more when you're not praising and worshiping God. But we're learning to become what? More skillful and practicing and doing this on purpose. We need to learn to be ready at any time to praise and worship God. It's not waiting for a feeling first. No. He says, come before me with praise and thanksgiving. Did he say, wait for a feeling before you come before me? No, he didn't. No, he said, it tells us in Psalms 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hebrews 13:15, what does it tell us? Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. What do you mean, Pastor Debbie, a sacrifice of praise? And that means whether we feel like it or not, it's not based on a feeling. He said to come before him anyway, whether you feel like it or not, and begin to praise him, thank him, hallelujah, adore him, worship him, honor him, magnify him, glorify him, lift him up, hallelujah. It gets your mind on the answer and takes your mind off the problem. Hallelujah. I'm reminding you again of something Noble Hayes said. If my people, Jesus told her, if my people would just worship and praise me more, I will do great and mighty things for them. And then I'll remind you again of what Brother Hagin said. He said, I believe there is a close relationship between ministering to the Lord in your praise and worship time and your deliverance from and out of your tests and trials. You know, because we live in this world, tests and trials come to all of us. I mean, we live in a fallen world. We can't stop them from coming. But they were created by words. They can be taken out by words.
That's right.
Tests and trials are temporal. And that which is eternal, the word of God, can swallow up that which is temporal and change it. Your situation is temporal, subject to change upon what you decide to do about. To do about it, which you believe God with. So we saw right here in Psalms chapter 5, here comes the barricade. When we praise and worship God, it builds the barricade around our life to keep the devil out. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's it. Praise God. And then let's look at Psalms 9. Psalms 9, verses 1 through 4. And I'm going to read from the Amplified in that. Says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth, recount. Here we go. He will what? Show forth, recount, tell aloud all your marvelous works and wonderful deeds. I will rejoice in you and be in high spirits. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turned back, why? Because they're praising, you're worshiping God. Come on now, you're praising God, you're worshiping God, you're shouting, you're rejoicing before Him. He said, when my enemies turned back, they stumbled, they perished before you. The King James Version says, they perished at your presence. Here we go. When you praise and worship God, the presence of God comes in. And there's the anointing. The devil can't stand in the anointing. No, no, no. For verse 4 it says, "For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging righteously." There we go. There he is as a judge. There he is as a judge. When you praise and worship God, hallelujah. We need to be ready and willing at any given moment to praise and worship God. We need to practice this more and more. Become more skillful at this. It's a lifestyle. This is a lifestyle for the believer. It's not just on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights or Wednesday mornings. This is a lifestyle. We are to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. All the time. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name and confess. Hallelujah. We don't want the devil to think he's winning. And we don't want to put ourselves in a place where we would worry, fret, have anxiety, be stressed out about these things. No. We have to recognize the devil has already been defeated. You need to keep that always in the forefront of back of your mind that the devil has already been defeated. You're just enforcing his defeat with exercising your faith through your words and your actions. Faith comes by hearing, but faith is released through your words and your actions continually. So let's look at an example today, because when we praise, you win battles. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. King Jehoshaphat and Judah. And how powerful this this was when they listened to the Lord and the word of God and did what God told them to do. What happened in that battle? But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'll be reading out of the Amplified. And I'm going to begin in verse 1. It says, "After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Mennonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. It was told Jehoshaphat," verse 2, "a great multitude has come against you from beyond the Dead Sea, from Edom. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar," which is in Gedi. Verse 3, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself determinedly as his vital need to seek the Lord." Notice, here comes this big battle against Jehoshaphat and his people, Judah. And instead of running and getting all anxious and fearful, because he's thinking they're much bigger than we are, they got much more weapons than we... Nope, he begins to seek God's face. You know, you might think that what you're facing is a whole lot bigger than you, but it's not bigger than the God that's in you. It's not bigger than the God who's in you and the God who you serve. Come on now. We got to get our perspective right. The enemy wants us to think that this thing is real big and your God is real little, but we need to see our God is real big, hallelujah, and the problem is real small. The eternal swallows up that which is temporal. So it says, verse 3, "Then Jehoshaphat feared and he set himself determinedly as his vital need to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast through all of Judah." Verse 4, "And Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord." They're following the king. He's setting the example here. They're going right along and following it. They asked for help from the Lord. "Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord, yearning for him with all their desire." Oh, my goodness. Do we do that in the times of tests and trials? Yearn for God with all our desire? Verse 5, "And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? Woo! What is Jehoshaphat? What is he doing? He's beginning to magnify God. He's beginning to boast about God's greatness and bigness and how awesome he is. He says, are you not the God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand are power and might. Woo! Glory to God. In his hand is power and might. And he's given that to you and I. In his hand is power and might so that none is able to withstand you, Lord. Woo! That means none is able to withstand you, the God who's in you. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Verse 7. It says, did not you, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? Woo, now he's getting ready to go down memory lane with God. He says, God, I remember when you did this. Hello. That's why I say it's always good to journal your walk with God every time he brings you out, every time he provides, every time he heals and delivers you. Write it down, date it. You can say, Lord, you did it here. You did it there for me. You do it again. He's a God that would do it again. Hallelujah. So he begins to remind the people. He reminds them. He says, did you not? Yeah, he sure did. Great displays of power to the Israelites when they got delivered out of Egypt. It says, they dwelt in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, verse 9, if evil comes upon us, or if tests and trials, you could say today, if tests and trials come, the sword of judgment, of pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house, before you, for your name. Your name, we got the name of Jesus. Your name and the symbol of your presence is in this house, and cry to you in our affliction, and you will hear us and save us. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's that. He's reminding God of their victory in the past. He's saying, you're going to do it again, God. You're going to do it again. You gave us victory then. We're going to have victory right now. Verse 11, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession. God, you're the one that said this land belongs to us. You told us to go in and possess it. They're trying to drive us out of our inheritance. Come on now. The devil trying to rob you of your inheritance in Christ, what Christ has already bought and paid for. Shed his blood for your freedom, your victory, your deliverance, your healing, your salvation. Come on. The devil trying to come and rob you of your inheritance and your possession? No. No. He says, behold, they reward us coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. That's exactly right. Verse 12. O our God, will you not exercise judgment upon them? For we have no might. In other words, we're nothing in and of ourselves. No, exactly. We have no might to stand against this great company that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I love it. They seek him. They desire him. They yearn for him. They fast and they're praying. They're listening. They're magnifying him. They're going down memory street with him. God, you brought us out here. You delivered us here. You saved us here. You provided victory there. We know you're going to do it again. We just need to hear how and what you want to do here. Verse 13, and all of Judah stood before the Lord with their children and their wives. And in verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. Here we go. Verse 15, he said, hearken, all Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. He's talking to every one of them right there, calls them all out. He said, do not be not afraid or dismayed. Sometimes when we're looking at the problem, we can get afraid and dismayed. Yep. But he immediately addresses that. Do not be afraid or dismayed at this great multitude. What you're seeing. Right. Don't get dismayed by it. Don't get afraid by it. We're praising God. We're thanking God even before we feel it or see it. It's a divine strategy to send praise out before you. Right. Before you feel it, before you see it, you're already praising and thanking God for who He is and what He's already done. Hallelujah. Yeah. Be not afraid nor dismayed at this great multitude. So it wasn't a little multitude that was coming against them. It was big. In their eyes, it was big. For the battle is not yours. Say, the battle is not mine. But God's. Woo, yes, 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 yes. It says, tomorrow go down to them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the ravine before the wilderness of Jeruel. Verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. What? You shall not need to fight. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Take your positions. Are you taking your position? What is it, Pastor Debbie? Your position of victory. Victory that's already been won and provided for, that belongs to you. Your position as a child of the King. Your position as the overcomer, as the more than conqueror. Come on now. Your position in Christ already won. The enemy's already been defeated. You've already won. You've already won your case. You've already won your battle. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. You're coming from the victory. You're not trying to get the victory. You're coming from the victory. The victory's already been won. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, verse 17, so you shall not need to fight in this battle. Take your positions. Stand still. What's the Bible tell us? Be still and know that I am God. For some people, that's a hard thing to do, is to get still and quiet before the Lord, because they're so used to doing all the talking. You got to stop talking and get quiet and be still before the Lord and learn to listen. Become a good listener. Don't do all the talking. Yes, there are times that you need to talk and speak and declare and proclaim. And then there are other times after you've done that, you just need to learn to sit still. Quiet your mind in the presence of the Lord. Be still and know, he says, that I am God. Know it. So in verse 18, we'll go finish. So he says, see, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Verse 17, take your position, stand still, see the deliverance of the Lord who is with you. God is with you, God is for you, and God is in you. Yes. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. God is on your side. Yes. Hallelujah. He's fighting for you, especially when you are praising and thanking God. So it says, verse 18, fear not nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. That was the end of verse 17. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they fell down before the Lord, worshiping him. Oh my gosh, here comes the power of praise and worship. They sought the Lord. They sought to seek his face, to yearn after him, to desire him, to hear from him. God begins to speak back to them. Now they hear the word of the Lord. They fall to their faces before him, worshiping him, thanking him, blessing him. In verse 19, and some of the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. We can't be timid and shy when it comes to praising our God. I said, we can't be timid and shy when it comes to praising our God. It says, they got up. They got up. They stood up to praise the Lord, their God of Israel, with a very loud voice. You know, when you begin to praise and worship God, it makes the devil nervous. He cannot stand it. He won't stand to be around. Woo! He gets nervous and he leaves. Glory to God. So it says they began to praise him with a very loud voice. So it wasn't to themselves. It wasn't quiet and whispering. No. When you shout, the Bible says you strike terror into your enemies. When you begin to shout and praise your God. I'm just not that kind of person, Pastor Debbie. I've always been shy and timid. Well, you know what? When you get the boldness of the Holy Ghost, it will change you. Just allow the Holy Spirit to come and continue to work in you and change you. You might have been that way. You didn't know that. You raised that way. But now you got Christ in you. You can be bold and strong in the Lord. So it says right here, they fell down, they worshiped him, and then it says the Korahites and the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning. That's a good habit right there. They rose early in the morning. That's a good time to set, to become disciplined and learn to praise and worship God. They rose early in the morning. You can rise early in the morning. Before your mind gets going about your day and everything that you got to do, what you got to cover, what you got to... No. Praise, take time out to praise and worship God. We're talking about a divine strategy. Yes. Send praise out ahead of you. Yes. Woo, glory. So it says, they rose early in the morning. They went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and he said, hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. What? He said, believe in the Lord your God. Believe in your problem. No, believe in the Lord your God. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe and remain steadfast to his prophets, and you shall prosper. In other words, the word that came through those prophets to them, that word will hold you steady in the midst of unsteady times all around you. That word will stabilize you, hold you steady in the midst of all the turmoil and the turbulence around you. Come on now. Woo, come on. Believe, he said, I just love that right there. Just believe in the Lord your God. What did they do? They began to magnify him at the beginning. God, the God of all heavens, the God whose power and might is in your hand. You delivered us out of Egypt. Oh, what is this to you, Lord God? Nothing. Woo, hallelujah. Glory, verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers to sing to the Lord and praise him in their holy priestly garments, as they went out before the army. Can you imagine? Now we're talking about a great multitude that's coming against them. But here, one of the strategies, send praise out ahead of you. A divine strategy. Send praise out ahead of you. This is what Judah and King Jehoshaphat are doing because God instructed them to do this. He appointed singers, praisers to sing to the Lord and praise him in their holy priestly garments. And they went out before the army. Now, I know that had to look a little different. the army that's got all the weapons, the swords, the shields, the helmets, and all that standing behind. But here's the praise and worship team going out in front of them.
That's right.
Woo, glory to God. He said, as they went out before the army, saying, so they were not whispering, were they? No, they weren't whispering this. They were saying, give thanks to the Lord. So what were they doing? They were getting in one accord. All of them were coming together. Oh, do y'all hear this? Unity, unity, getting in one accord, together in unity. They began to say the same thing at the same time out loud about their God. They got in unity. What happens when there's a unity? There's the anointing. Glory to God. They said, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Verse 22, and when they began to sing, say sing, and praise God, to sing and praise the Lord, set ambushments. Here we go, here we go, here we go. The battle is the Lord's, the victory is yours. When you praise, you win battles. What's happening here? It says, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord out loud, unashamedly, they were not shy. They were not timid about it. They wasn't holding back. They didn't care who was beside them, who was behind them, who was in front of them. Come on now. They were praising and worshiping their God. They got together about it. They were in one accord about it, in unison, speaking the same thing. For the Lord is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy and love and kindness endure forever. And it says, the Lord, verse 22, the Lord set ambushments against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah. Who set ambushments? The Lord set ambushments. What do we say when you praise your God? He acts like he can sit as a judge in ambush with surprise attacks against your enemy. You just, if you only knew in the spirit realm what happens when you praise and worship. I said, if you only knew in the spirit world what happens when you praise and worship God, you'd be doing it a whole lot more. Hallelujah. Come on now. It says, the Lord began to set ambushments against the men of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were self-slaughtered. The enemy turned on himself and began to kill themselves. Yes. That's pretty good. I don't know about you, but when the enemy turns on themselves and begins to kill, Verse 23, for suspecting betrayal, the men of Ammon and Moab rose against those of Mount Seir, utterly destroying them. And when they had made an end of the men of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. Here's the enemy going around the camp and destroying himself. Because the children of Israel, Judah and King Jehoshaphat got a word from God. They carried that word out. They believed in God. They held to that word. They began to sing and praise God. The God set ambushments against their enemy. The enemy began to turn on himself and destroy himself. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 24, and when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked at the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth. My Lord. And none had escaped. Say none.
None.
Not one had escaped. Oh my word. Come on now. And we're under the New Testament, under a new covenant with a better promises and a better covenant with better promises. Come on now. Blood of Jesus sealed and ratified our covenant. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise God.
Praise.
So it says, verse 25, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take the spoil, they found among them much cattle, goods, garments, precious things, which they took for themselves more than they could carry away. So much they were 3 days in gathering the spoil from their enemies. Now you talking about they might have been poor when it started, but they ain't poor no more.
No more.
God, just add it to them. Add it to them, blessing over and above. My Lord, my Lord. 3 days trying to get the spoil. Verse 26, on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka where they blessed the Lord. So now they're taking time again to stop and praise and bless God for what he just did. What he just did for them. They're blessing and praising him again. Are y'all getting this? Before you ever see anything, before you ever feel anything, come on now, divine strategies to send that praise out ahead of you. Keep praising him. Keep thanking him. Keep magnifying him in the midst of it when you think nothing is happening. Oh, it's happening. Something is happening. I can tell you, it's happening in the spirit world, and it's going to manifest in the natural. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Says they bless, verse 26, there they bless the Lord, so the name of the place is still called the Valley of Baraka, blessing. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat leading them to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to what? Rejoice over their enemies. Are y'all getting this? How did they win over their enemy? They rejoiced. They praised. They sang to God. They rejoiced before God. They shouted. They got in unison in one accord. Oh my gosh. They released in their faith what they believed. Hallelujah. For the Lord had caused them to rejoice over their enemies, just like he'll do the same thing for you. Yes. When you rejoice and praise and worship God, it says, verse 28, they came to Jerusalem with harps, lyres, trumpets, the house of the Lord, to the house of the Lord. Verse 29, and the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Hallelujah. Praise God. There came the peace of God that settled in. They had won this great victory because they followed the instructions of the Lord. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Praise God, praise God, praise God. We're talking about winning. If you want to win, praise. When we praise God, we win battles. When we praise God, we win battles. We got to praise God and become more skillful at this. Hallelujah. Practice this more and more. Learn to do it and be at any given moment. Not ashamed to lift your hands, fall on your knees, praise God out loud, shout unto God, magnify God, glorify God with your own mouth. Hallelujah. How good he is. How awesome he is. How great and mighty he is. What a mighty God you are. Hallelujah. We praise you. We bless you, Lord God. You are so good to us. We thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your mercy, Lord God. For the battle is yours and the victory is ours. We thank you for the victory, Lord God. Hallelujah. We praise you and bless you this morning. For you alone are God and there is no other. Hallelujah. No one can do what only you can do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh my gosh. So just a quick recall. God defeated their enemies. He provided for their material needs and he gave them peace. I think that's pretty good. When we praise, we win battles. More and more, we need to become more better, better, better at this. Practice this more and more as the people of God, as believers. It's a lifestyle. What does he tell us in Psalms? He says, Isaiah, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Yes. Put it on. He didn't say God would put it on for you, did he? Mm-mm. No, we're the ones that have to do something about it. Each one of us. So that praise and rejoicing before the Lord is connected to your victory. The bulk of your victory will be tied and wrapped up in your praise and worship to God. Before you ever see anything, feel anything, send the divine strategies to send that praise out ahead of you. And at the same time, you're releasing your faith, and your faith needs your praise. And your praise is an elemental, fundamental beginning of your faith, really. Element to your faith, your praise. It's a fundamental element to your faith. Praise God. So, Father, this morning we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're ever reminding us and helping us to move on further and further and further to advance and our knowledge and wisdom concerning you, what you've done for us as your people, Lord God, knowing who we are, what we have, what we can do in Christ. We thank you this morning that your word never returns unto you void, but it goes out and accomplishes that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent today. We decree and declare victory in the people's lives today here. Victory, victory, victory. Thanks be unto God, which always gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you, Father. That divine strategy will continue to become skillful. More and more. If there's anybody in here this morning that you would like to have hands laid on,